Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. Title of this morning's message is God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. So I had the opportunity of teaching since Brother Joe was out of town. The college age class and also the other young adults that were inside our classroom this morning, and we did a little bit of an interactive type Sunday school lesson and asked some questions. And the first question we asked was, what was one of the darkest periods in American history? And we had some different responses. The first one that came up was the Civil War, and I probably lean to agree with that. And the part of the reason why is because one of the things that was said about this past week was one of the darkest times in Americans' history, and I would disagree with some of the lots of different things people are saying and what the media is trying to push in some areas in some ways. But the point of the lesson this morning in our class was that there were people who served, they ministered even during very dark times, One of the devotions I read on January 2nd was in a book that I know some of you have and some that are reading through it with me, is it was found about D.L. Moody during one of the battles in the Civil War. And it says that there was no other battle in the Civil War that would result in the casualties and losses as the Battle of Stones River near Murfreesboro. Death would come to 1,677 on the Union side, 1,294 on the Confederate side. And it talked about as the Union forces seized control on that January day in 1863, that there was one voice that could be heard through dark and smoke-filled air. The man's name, familiar to many Christians, would be Dwight Lyman Moody. It says, during the heat of the battle, Moody would run in and out of the explosions, seek out wounded souls that were desperate for help. And over the gruesome noises of the 19th century warfare, each soldier would hear the same battle cry from the lips of Moody, "Are you a Christian?" And when I read that on January 2nd, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart and said, look, that guy, during one of the darkest times and periods in the nation of American history, was still ministering. They were still serving. They were still trying to win people to Christ. And I began also to think, the Lord brought to my mind, and we asked the next question was, can you name a Bible character that served the Lord during difficult times? And we started listening. They listed different people. First one that came up was Daniel. And I agree, Daniel would probably be something that was a very difficult time. You know, he's taken from his home country, made a slave inside under Nebuchadnezzar and all those other things that happened, and Daniel served the Lord. And then we heard stories about people like Joseph. We even looked at Acts chapter number 4, talking about the disciples, about how they were persecuted. And we looked at a lot of different Bible characters that served the Lord and ministered during very difficult times. David's name was brought up. Joseph's name was brought up. And a lot of different interesting ones. And we're not going to reteach that lesson. But the thought that came across was there was many, if not the majority of Christians or people that served the Lord, that the place where they were serving the Lord at was not very Christ-like, was not very Christian. And even if you, for the good kings that you had, like David and Uzziah and a few of the other ones, you have multiple bad kings. And you think about during the book of Judges, the nation of Israel wasn't serving the Lord most of the time. And all these different Bible characters, you see that God was able to use and able to minister people that would believe in him and trust in him. And you continue on, and I think about the dark time that our nation's going through today and how it's probably even going to get darker as times go along and how things may even get worse unless the Lord causes a revival to happen. We should still be ministering. We should still be serving. And then I ask the question, and once again, there's probably 15 people in the room from ages 8, 17, 18, all the way up to, well, we won't tell you how old the oldest one was because it might have been me. And why do people don't serve today? What is the reason why Christian believers today do not serve? And we had some different good answers, many different ones. One person said, because other believers are judgy. They judge others. And I try to encourage them, hey, look, if you're serving the Lord for the Lord, not for others. Another person talked about the fear that's involved. Another person talked about how sometimes people just don't care. They're unconcerned. Another person talked about sins or getting their eyes focused on something else. They talked about how their eyes is focused on the things of the world instead of focus on the things of God. And I challenged them that whatever service that they're doing right now or what they should be doing, you know, ask yourself this question, what is stopping you from serving? Because, yes, there may be dark days ahead, but does that mean that we don't have to serve anymore? The answer is no. We have been privileged, and we have been privileged to live in a country that that has been called a Christian nation. We've been privileged to live with religious freedoms and religious liberties, to be able to freely express the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there may be times ahead that are ahead of us that are going to be a dark period in the nation of our history. But just as D.L. Moody, during one of the darkest hours in America's nation's history, was there asking people if they're saved, when brother was fighting brother, when Union versus South, all those different things was happening, he still found a way to minister. And you go through the Bible and you see Bible character after Bible character after Bible character, that many times it was an anti-God type culture that they stood up and they made a difference. And I want to encourage you today that whether things are good or whether things are bad, we should be serving. And probably in the last 50 years, there's many of us that have not served like we should. And we need to ask ourselves this question, why am I not serving God like I should? One of the other thoughts that came out was the reason why people don't serve today is because they don't believe they're making a difference. It's a sin of unbelief. Now, we serve a God that says he can do all things. None of us would say, oh, we don't believe that. Now, we would all say that. But our lack of service is because of the fact that we really, truly don't believe God is going to make a difference. If I give out that Bible tract, if I tell my friend about the Lord, I don't believe it's going to make a difference. Why do it anyway? Then you're beginning to question the Word of God. You're beginning to question the call of God. And you're beginning to question the power of God. What does God ask us to do? He tells us to be faithful. How does God tell us to serve? With all our heart. How does he tell us to love? With all our heart, all our strength, and all our might. So this morning, we're going to look at a Bible character. It's an interesting story. I know I've been pastor here, I don't know how many years, 11, 12 years, something like that. I think it was on January 9th I became the pastor, and I think it was 2009. And so it was here recently. And you look at this passage of Scripture, and we probably looked at it over the last 12 years at least two or three times, just because it's so prevalent and so important for the day and time. We even built our theme for one of the years about having a proper vision, because we need to see God sitting on that throne. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to sense what Isaiah sensed. We need to say what Isaiah said. And that was one of the messages before. It's not the same outline that's today. But the reality is, Isaiah here is mourning the death of Uzziah. Uzziah is a good king. He served the Lord. He messed up towards the end a little bit, but he served the Lord. I think he reigned for like 50-some years, 52 years. God blessed the nation. They see many increases. Uzziah is gone. What looks like on the future, the horizon, is not someone who's going to serve God the same way. Sound familiar? The leader that many people like is no longer president, and they're concerned what the future is going to be like with the political leadership we have today. And Isaiah is there, and Isaiah is concerned, and Isaiah doesn't know what's going to happen, and he has a vision. You know what that vision is? He sees that God is still on the throne. He sees that behind the earthly throne, behind the earthly leadership, there is still a God that is not going to leave his throne, that's not going to give up his throne, that's not going to give up his authority, that's not going to say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. There is a God that will always be on the throne, and as we see that God high and lifted up, you know what that's going to do? That's going to change the way we serve. It's going to change how we believe. It's going to change how we act. But when we become focused on the things of this world, we tend to become one of those that are unconcerned, unbelieving, and got our eyes focused on the wrong things. So this morning, I want to encourage you with this thought. God is still on the throne, and if God's still on the throne, there's some things we should realize. Let's jump in here. Isaiah chapter number 6, seeing verse number 1. In the year of the king, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah has this vision of the Lord. He's high, he's lifted up. Verse number 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So not only does Isaiah see him high and lifted up, he sees that not only that he is in charge, he also sees that he's holy. Some people have no problem saying, hey, that God is in charge. But you know what? There are people out there that says have a problem with saying that he's holy and that we should be holy. Verse number 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I have heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Those are the main verses there, but that most people preach on. He sees God. He realizes that he is undone. He realizes that he's not holy. He realizes God's in charge. He gets his health right with the help of God. Then he says, he hears God say, who's going to go for us? And what the proper response is, hey, here am I, send me. If God that's in charge is on the throne saying, hey, I have something for somebody to do, who's going to listen to Isaiah after seeing God properly with that proper vision says, hey, I'm willing to go. But look at the call that God gives to Isaiah. Some people think, well, the calling of God means everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be right. There's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be issues. Look what it says here in verses 9. This is not as familiar of a passage. It says, and he said, this is the response when Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? So what's being said here in verses 9 and 10 is that even though Isaiah is going to go and he's going to preach, he's going to give the message that people are not going to respond. People are going to become even more hard-hearted. People are going to be blind. And they're not going to want to see the truth. They're not going to want to see the light. And you say, why is God sending Isaiah then if they're not going to listen? Because they need to hear the truth. And sometimes people are not going to listen, but they still need to know the truth. And Isaiah said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. How long? And you say, okay, God's going to tell him, do it for a couple years, and then he's going to see revival. And that's not what he says here. Look what it says. He says in verse 11, then said I, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. I read those verses, and it doesn't sound very pretty. He says there's judgment that's coming, and with the judgment that's coming, he says, I want you to keep on serving. even though things don't seem like they're getting better. There is something that's going to happen someday. And he says, someday, and it's going to be something that is gone, but I want you to keep on giving out the word. I want you to keep on telling the message I have for you. Look at, there's some encouragement, I think, in verse number 13. It says, but yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. You know, God is saying he has a remnant there. He's saying that there is hope for the future. Not for this group that's not going to learn, that's not going to listen, that it's not going to get their hearts right, that's not going to get healed spiritually in a sense. He says there is coming a day that there is going to be rejoicing. There is coming a day when they're going to return that remnant. God always has his remnant. And in the dark time that we live in today, that may become darker. If something doesn't change, it seems like it's going to become darker. What are we supposed to do? Let's see God sitting on the throne again. Let's once again realize who's in charge, realize the changes that we need to make, and realize that we should surrender. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts today. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed, don't know what to say, but instead we just are concerned and that we weep and that we pray and we depend on you. We read stories and we see stories of how you use different individuals to make a great difference. In the Bible, we see some main characters. But Lord, we also know that through the centuries, there's been many a Bible character that does not have a name on there. Many people that have faithfully served you and faithfully held forth the light and faithfully given out your message. Lord, I pray that we be part of those generations, that even during dark times, that we would still shine forth your light. Help us see you sitting on your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm looking at this story, and I'm considering things that are going on in our nation and in our country. And I think about it, man, there's so many Bible characters. You think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah's message was he was supposed to be a prophet, and he was supposed to tell them, you're headed towards slavery. Turn, repent. Doesn't seem like anybody gets right. Isaiah's here, and Isaiah, okay, he sees God high and lifted up. He wants to serve because he's God, and he says, how long? And he says, look, things aren't going to get any better. You just got to keep on going. You just got to keep on serving. You just got to do this. And he said, how long? He says, You're not going to really like how long, because you don't see any hope for this nation. Now, I would not tell you that's the truth for America. I believe America has hope while there's people that are here and that we're praying and we're seeking God's face, but it's God that brings revival. It's God that's going to make the difference. What's happening in our government is an issue. It is a problem. It's horrible because there doesn't seem like there's any truth inside of it. But at the same time, God's the one that's going to make the difference and make the change. So let's look here, like Isaiah did, in this day when the good leadership had just fallen away, not sure what the future was going to look like, God gives him a vision and says, Isaiah, don't be so worried about what's here on earth. Be worried about who's sitting on the throne. A couple things here. First thing I want to see, if you see God sitting on the throne, we need to realize who's in charge. Look what it says in verse number 1. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I was encouraged this past week when I was reading through, and I looked at the story of Moses a little bit, studying for Sunday school lesson and for this morning's lesson. You think about in the story of Moses, that in the nation of Israel got so big, then Egypt, they didn't like how big they got, so they put them in slavery. And they started working, building the pyramids or whatever, and they began working and working very hard. Where was God during that time? Was God not on the throne? He was on the throne. Think about it. For over 400 years, his people was enslaved. And you think about the story about Jochebed, who Moses' mom, putting Moses inside that little bulrush, little ark type thing, and putting him out in the Nile River where there's crocodiles and there's alligators or whatever is out there, a lot of dangers out there, and leaving him there with the little sister. You know, what? I mean, we think about how hard and difficult things are today, but God was on the throne then too. Then you imagine that 80 years later, Moses comes back and delivers the nation of Israel. But during those 80 years, guess what they did? They were in slavery. They worked hard. They had expectations of doing things that were not humanly possible, and they would be whipped if they didn't do it. Why was Moses put in the Nile River? They were killing the Israelite boy babies. Things were really, really dark, and things were really, really bad. But you see Jochebed, and you see her husband there, and they are trusting God, and they're believing in God, and God rises up a deliverer 80 years later. But those 80 years, there was people there that believed in the one true God. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I want to remind you that God is still on the throne, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House because there's someone on the throne. Do we want someone who loves God and fears God in the White House? Of course we do. Would we like to have someone, a God-fearing nation? Of course we would. But no matter who's on earthly thrones, there's still a heavenly throne, and no one's going to usurp his authority. And I want to encourage you today, we need to realize who's in charge. We need to see the Lord sitting on that throne. We need to look past all the different other distractions and realize that he is God, and we should be willing to serve him. That's what Isaiah needed to see. The next thing, not only do we need to realize who's in charge, but when we see God sitting on the throne, we realize we need to change. Look what it says here. It says in verse number 3, and cried one to another, talking about the seraphims, the angels, as they flying around the Lord, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And it says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And so it's the image that he is holy there, is represented there. And like I said, people don't mind saying that God is on the throne, but people don't like that when they realize, hey, that means I need to change the way I live. So not only do they see that he's in charge, he's also holy, and there's an expectation. If he's the one in charge, what does he say we should do? Well, the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. In 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There is an expectation for believers that they also should be holy. And then Isaiah, when he sees God high and lifted up, he changes his perspective. When he sees the holiness of the Lord, what does he do? He sees himself. He realizes that he's fallen short. So many times we like to compare ourselves with other people, and we're thinking, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty holy because I'm not like that person that's on drugs. I'm not like that person that's addicted to alcohol. I'm not like that person that's being immoral. And we like to compare ourselves to the world or other believers and think that we're holy. But Isaiah got the good picture. He saw God high and lifted up, and he said, hey, I'm undone. There's something wrong with me. There's something I need to change. He says, verse number 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He says, look, there is something that needs to change in me. I have unclean lips. He's saying, hey, I'm a sinner. There, when I see God in the proper perspective, it should want me to change who I am. If I'm going to serve in a dark time, they need to see the Lord in my life. They need to see Christ in me. They don't need to see my own self. They don't need to see my wicked ways. They need to see somebody who believes that God's high and lifted up, but not just high and lifted up, that he's holy. And there's a reason why he's lifted up. It's because he's holy. And that's what the challenge is that's found here. Isaiah's there, and he's saying, hey, look, there's something that needs to change. So the first thing is we need to realize who's in charge, which is the Lord. Second thing is we need to realize there needs to be a change in my life. The challenge I gave to the class today was, why are people not serving like it says in the Word of God? And because sometimes there's unconcern. Sometimes it's because of sin. Sometimes it's because we don't love him like we should. Sometimes it's a lack of unbelief. Is there something that we need to change in our heart and life? Our theme this year is steadfast, and the title was going to be steadfast and having the proper view of who God is, but that's kind of long, but that's the purpose there. We need to stay focused on the fact that God's on the throne. We don't know what's going to happen next month or 6 months down the road or a year down the road or 2 years down the road or 4 years down the road or 10 years. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know no matter what happens, that God is on that throne and that God is going to be holy. He's going to stay holy, and he says that he expects us to be holy too. The third thing, is not only do we see him in charge, and not only do we realize we need to change, we realize we should commit. We see who's in charge, we see that we need to change, but we realize we should commit or surrender. And what you see here, that there's something that happens in verse number 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on my upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And there's a picture there about the altar and the clean, you know, how it cleans and how we need God's help for the cleanliness. And then in verse number 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? It's amazing. God is asking this question, and Isaiah is answering the call here. What else could Isaiah do? He's seeing a vision there. He's seeing God high and lifted up and holy, and he sees that he's in charge of the world. He's looking past man's throne, and he's seeing God's throne in heaven, and God is saying, there is something I need somebody to do. And he says, well, here am I, send me. What else could he do? Of course he's going to do that. He sees God high. He sees him lifted up. He realizes he's in charge. And what other choice do you have than to say yes to the King of the universe? Who are we to say no? And that's why Isaiah says, here am I. Send me, Lord. Because we don't have that proper perspective, many times we're not saying, here am I, send me. Because we don't have the proper perspective, we're saying, hey, I think somebody else should go. Hey, Lord, send somebody else. That's not what a person who has that proper perspective, they're going to say, Lord, if you got something you want me to do, I'm in. I'm willing to do it. And then Isaiah asked this question, and his response is, then said, I hear him, I send me. He gives him the answer there, what he wants him to do, which isn't very pretty. He says, hey, look, I want you to go tell the truth. The people are not going to listen, but they need to hear the truth. I want you to tell the truth, and I want you to keep on telling the truth and keep on telling the truth. Isaiah says, okay, I get it. You want me to preach to a group of people. They're not going to respond. How long do you want me to do it? Because I want you to keep on doing it till the end. So in the day and time that we live in, there's a challenge. Are we going to see God in the proper perspective? Are we going to see him high and lifted up? Is he still on the throne? And the answer is if he's still on the throne, which is yes, then guess what? We need to realize he's in charge. We need to realize there's a change that needs to happen. And then we need to realize I need to commit to what he desires for my life. And I ask myself these questions, and ask yourself these questions. Why am I not committed to him today? I think one of the number one beliefs reasons is because there's a lack of unbelief in the day and time that we live in amongst believers. We've had it many times easy when it comes to spiritual liberties and spiritual freedoms. We have faced some persecution. And God, and we're not asking for more. As was said to Esther, for such a time as this, as Mordecai was saying, hey, Esther, maybe God designed you for this moment and for this time, and God's put us here without a mistake. He's in charge. He's still on the throne. We're living here in this day and this time for a reason. And he's saying, I got something for you to do. And he's calling people. But the reason why many people don't hear the call for their lives is because they have so many other things that are blocking that communication. They have so many other sins, so many other things that attract their attention. They're missing the call of God. And they need to take some time. And they need to see him high. They need to see him lifted up so they see who really, truly is in charge, so they can understand the change that needs to happen and the commitment that needs to make. Do we really feel like God would give us something to do that he would not make us capable of accomplishing? He gives Isaiah this job, and Isaiah faithfully does this job. He calls Jeremiah very similarly a little bit later on, and Jeremiah has even a little bit of a tougher job. And he's doing, he becomes a weeping prophet as he sees it, and he doesn't see any converts, he doesn't see any change, he doesn't see any difference, but God called him to make a prophet. He says, before in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet. It wasn't some type of fancy ministry. It was, I got a job for you to do. And he says, who has the right to tell him to do something so horrible? The one that's on the throne. The one that's the one that we're supposed to serve with all our heart, the one that we're supposed to look at and say, there's the change I need to be. I want to be more like him. I should commit my life to him. But why is it that Christians today are not serving? Is it because there's a dark time? Well, I think that question's kind of answered. The answer is no, because in the Bible, there was many, many dark times that people served. Isaiah is the example. Isaiah needs to see this, and we need to see this fresh and new each and every day. We need to be impressed with God. We need to put God on the throne or see him sitting on that throne, excuse me. And each day, we need to praise him for what he is and who he is and what he's done. And once again, put him on the throne of our own life and say, okay, I need to change. I need to commit. I don't care what's happening in this world. I can live for him today. He's got a plan and purpose for me. Do you believe that you can make a difference for the Lord? Most people today, many Christians, would never say it out loud, but through their actions, they live a life of unbelief by not being willing to be a witness, by not reading their word, and by not praying. They're saying, I understand all that. I just don't feel like it's going to make a difference. They're not seeing God high and lifted up. They're not answering the call that Isaiah answered. It wasn't a simple job. It wasn't an easy job. And I want to tell you, in the future, it may not be simple and it may not be easy. But God's not calling us to do it in our strength. God is calling us to do it in his strength. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That means that we're able to do whatever he wants us to accomplish. He will give us the strength to do that. So as the days ahead look a little bit different, maybe a little bit bleak, there's a lot of people that need to hear the truth. It looks as if end times are going to come, and then come quickly and sooner. So why wouldn't we be motivated to serve more? Why wouldn't we be motivated to read more? Why wouldn't we be more motivated to pray more? Why wouldn't we be more motivated to want to reach our world for Jesus Christ even more? It's because we don't see him high and lifted up like we should. We don't view him that way. Because if we view him that way, it's, here am I, send me. Instead of, I don't really want to be bothered. Because that's where many Christians are when it comes to service. Let somebody else do it. We need to hear from him what he wants us to do. We need to see who's in charge. We need to make the change. And we need to commit what he's asking from us. Now, most of us would say, Pastor, I hear it, I see it, I understand it, but really, when God asked somebody to do that, go through some of the Bible characters. It was an interesting study, even thought about preaching the whole message about the different struggles that many Bible characters had, what the disciples went through when the apostles that were almost all of them martyred, what Daniel went through and what Joseph went through and what even Job went through, and David for a period of his life. And there was some blessings. There was some, like the Uzziah days when things were, you think about the privileges Solomon had, there were some. And they were all, many of them were dark times, anti-God cultures that they came shining a light through. Are we going to be that light? I believe in America there's a many people out there that believe that there is a God. I don't know if they see him high and lifted up like they should. I definitely don't know if they think that he's holy and that he has an expectation for us to be holy. But I want to encourage you today. He's got a job for you to do. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what someone else's job is. I know what he's spoken to my heart about doing. But I know what it clearly says in the Bible about things such as reading our Bibles, praying, being a witness, giving, serving, all those things are found in there. They're not silent. But as we're doing those things, I mean, where's Isaiah at? He's in the temple. And that's, you know, that's where he has this. He's in the temple. He's seeking after the Lord. And has filled the temple there. I want to encourage you today. See him high and lifted up. see him sitting on the throne still. No matter what happens in this world, he's still going to be there. He's not going to leave it. He's not going to advocate it. He's not going to say, hey, I'm done. He's still God. We can always trust that. And then be steadfast about it. Don't let the things of this world take you to think, maybe God's not in control. Jochebed took that baby and by faith was able to put it inside the ark with her husband. I know that. And they were able to do that even though they had faced how many years of being in bondage. And then 80 years later, Aaron's there and Moses is there. You know, it was hard times, but there's still a light that can go out. I think it'd be good if we committed to serve God, even during the dark times. And it reminds me of the story of D.L. Moody that during one of the darkest periods, if not the darkest period of American's history, that there was a man who found the way to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you that when dark times that are coming, we should find our way to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the fact that you are still on the throne. Lord, I pray that you help us to be steadfast with seeing you on that throne. Help us look past these earthly thrones, these earthly positions, and see that you are still high and lifted up, and that you are still holy. And when we realize that you sit on that throne, we realize that you're the one that's truly in charge. And Lord, we realize that there is a change that many of us need to make. And Lord, we see the commitment that should be taken. And Lord, we should commit to you, no matter what it is you've called us to do. Some things, some people may have a little easier. Some people may have a little bit harder. But Lord, you've called us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.